to Friday Food Fight, where we are defining the everyday struggle to keep food safe. My name is Wes Christian, CEO of School Food Handler and Food Handler Solutions, and thanks for joining us. Again, this is kind of a new format. This is episode 2 for us, and today we're going to be talking about some cool SOP things and some stuff going on in the industry, but we're going to get into that in just a second. I want to introduce our guest for today, who is nationally recognized speaker, a good friend of mine, my co-founding partner, and also my dad, Mr. Bart Christian. So without further ado, welcome to the show again.
Hey, it's great to be here, Wes. I'm excited to talk about this topic. I know we're going to take a little venture off into the school world, and that's my passion is child nutrition.
Yeah, yeah. And so you've got, I mean, I know this, but you've got over 25 years in school nutrition. What are you seeing in the industry right now?
Well, before we get started, I have to say this. I have to say thank you to all the child nutrition superheroes, and that's what I call them all the time, who are on the front lines. You know, you hear people talking about the hospital workers, which is important. You hear the first responders, which is important. But you very seldom hear something said about the child nutrition workers who are going to work every day, you know, just as concerned as everybody else is about the situation, but making their commitment and their goal during this time to make sure that children get fed. Because what a lot of people don't understand about child nutrition as in the country is that over 30 million children rely on school meals, breakfast, lunch, and in some cases supper during the school year as their main source of nutrition. Economically, they struggle or whatever, you know, they're at home. And so those meals become the best meals. And so I cannot say enough good words about these ladies and gentlemen who are out putting their needs aside for the needs of others. And it's wonderful to see. And I just got to say thank you.
Well, hey, let's give them a round of applause here because they are doing some awesome work and I could not agree with you more. I think you've said it time and time again, you know, some of the most underappreciated people in a school district is the school nutrition department. And it's great to you know, give them some extra love. So I could not have said it better myself. Now, you know, before we jump into the topic today, what are you seeing in the industry right now? Because I know you've been talking with a lot of school nutrition directors. I know you've been very involved with schools that you work with in the Southwest region and also nationally through School Food Handler. What are you hearing?
Well, you know, when this all started a month ago, I don't think anybody really realized that we were possibly going to be in this till the end of the school year. I knew that was a possibility, but there was also other possibilities. And what's happened is that they've evolved the way they serve the kids. You know, obviously, we're not in a cafeteria. We're not in the school. These children are still relying on these meals. And so they've gone to a couple of different ways of service. They've gone to what I call drive-up service, where parents will drive up in the car and collect meals. In some districts, it's meals for the day. In some districts, it's meals for the week because they've evolved that service in order to maintain social distancing and to help out as much as possible. They're serving now multiple days worth of meals. Some people providing frozen food in that meal. Some people providing hot food that has to be cooled and then reheated. And then that's created a whole new dynamic for the way food's served. And they're also looking at, or they are doing school bus delivery. Where they're loading food up onto school buses, same kind of process. Sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's multiple days worth of food for a family, and they're delivering it either by the bus route, either site to site, or in most cases having a central location and letting people know that that's where they'll be, and then people come and pick up their meals. So, you know, those two procedures are things that have never been done before in schools. I mean, I've been in the business over 25 years, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the closest thing you would ever see is summer feeding.
Right.
But summer feeding was always congregate. It was always people came together. They sat in school or in some cases at a park, and they ate their meals together. Well, of course, we're not doing that now. So it's been very critical that schools follow proper procedures. And one thing a lot of people don't know about schools is that, you know, they're very procedure-driven, very, very procedure-driven. There's literally a procedure for everything that happens in a school nutrition environment from door to door. And so that when they started doing these two new things, I quickly realized that there were no standard operating procedures for either one of those ways of service. And so what we did with our team, and you were a part of that, we put together standard operating procedures for both those things, drive-up service and bus delivery. And we also developed some inserts and some things like that to go into the meals so that parents know the proper procedures for handling it. Because, you know, shelf-stable food is one thing. But I saw on Facebook not very long ago that there's a school district that actually is serving hot meals. They're making bread and beans and macaroni and cheese and things like that, and actually serving it in a container to the people. So, you know, food safety becomes very important, and you know, and so we've developed a lot of tools to help out with that.
Yeah, and that kind of leads us into what we're going to be talking about today with some standard operating procedures and or SOPs, as you know, many of us refer to them as. You know, for people that aren't maybe familiar with the terminology, you know, SOP, standard operating procedure, exactly what Bart's talking about. We've developed a lot of those with our school food handler team and made those available on our website at schoolfoodhandler.com. Right up in the navigation area, there's a new resource tab for COVID-19 resources where you can find everything that we're going to be kind of talking about today. Just to kind of dive into a couple of things here with you real quick. You mentioned non-congregate feeding, standard operating procedures. Talk to me a little bit more about non-congregate and kind of what we've put together in that specific SOP.
Well, we've done a couple of things. We put together a complete document that is multiple standard operating procedures in one, so that somebody could literally download that document, which is a free resource we've made available to the country, and download that entire document so they have something should a parent or should an administrator or should a health department want to know what they're doing. They've got it all in one document. Then we also broke those documents out so that people could download things as they needed them. We obviously did the drive up in the bus service SOP. We did SOPs for receiving boxes. The big thing that people are talking about or have been talking about is how do we properly handle cartons? When these boxes, when the food deliveries are made, ordinarily the standard thing that was done in the past is you just pick a box up, hug it to your body, and take it and set it down somewhere. Now, you know, we're discouraging that, and we're talking to people about proper ways to handle cardboard containers so that if should there be virus on the container, that they handle it in a way that will not infect them. You know, using a team approach to picking up larger cartons, even though you may be able to pick up, say, a box of toilet paper, which probably nobody has, but if you pick up a box as big as a case of toilet paper, you know, ordinarily that's easy. Just pick it up yourself. But in this environment, you might want to get somebody to help you so that you can, with gloved hands, grab the box, set it onto a cart, roll it to the proper destination, and then set it off. So we wrote a procedure for that, about how to handle it, how long to let things sit. We wrote procedures for cleaning a school bus, because now you've got food service people that are actually on a school bus making deliveries, and they're wanting to make sure that they're staying safe and they're staying clean. And so we provided COVID-19 approved germicide instructions for them to use in a school bus. So they can just wipe things down. It's common sense, you know, wipe down touch surfaces and things like that. But yet and still, like I said earlier, schools are used to having procedures for things so that they have got a guideline. And so we felt like that was important. Then we added supporting SOPs that we've developed over time, are pulled from other resources on proper receiving techniques, proper hand washing, proper personal hygiene, places where they're using time as a control. And a time as a control simply is a procedure that says that you can cook food and you don't necessarily have to keep it at temperature, but you have to eat it by a certain time. That time being the maximum time something gets set out before it becomes possibly unsafe. So that, you know, that's the gist of the SOPs we wrote. It's quite a document. It's about a 50-page document.
And there's
in the complete version. But again, like I said, in that website that you're talking, the resource site that you're talking about, we've broken it out piece by piece, so you've got it all together or in bites.
And now if anyone does have that box of toilet paper you're talking about, they might be the richest person in the world right now, because that seems to be the new currency, if I'm not mistaken.
You're exactly right. That hand soap.
Yeah. Hand sanitizer, yeah.
Yeah.
And Lysol wipes, apparently.
Exactly.
Let's talk about bus delivery. So that standard operating procedure that we've put together for delivering out of a truck or a bus, obviously, like you mentioned, completely new territory. This is something that hasn't really been done ever. In the past ever. So with delivering out of a bus, obviously hand washing is not something that you can do easily, if at all. So what's the new hand washing procedure look like in a bus environment?
Well, in a bus environment, clearly there is no hand washing procedure because there's no hand wash. If you're fortunate enough as a district and you've got the availability of hand sanitizer, obviously that answers that question. But if you don't, you know, my recommendation and our procedure has been to, you know, wash your hands thoroughly before you start, put gloves on, and wear gloves all the time. That way you're not touching anything, and if your gloves become soiled or they become torn or you need to change them, if you have an opportunity to wash your hands at a stop or a site, then obviously do that. But the reality of it is that that's not going to be possible for many, many people. So we're encouraging people to take the gloves off as gently as they can. And one really simple technique is you've got gloves on your gloves get soiled, you want to take them off, you can take your thumb and run it up the inside of the glove and just kind of peel the glove off that way as best you can, and then drop that glove in the trash and take your clean, ungloved hand and do the same thing with this up, trying only to touch the inside of the glove and then discard that glove. And then put a fresh set of gloves on. Is that perfect? No, it's not perfect. But in this world we live in, I think that, you know, we're dealing with a lot of new territory, and the goal is to keep things as safe as possible. Now, on a bus, you're handling food that's in containers. You know, you're handling containers that have been cleaned, coolers and things like that. So, you know, wiping down things in between is very important. So if you feel like you touch something, your hands have become soiled, and you touch the top of a seat or the handle where you open the door, school bus, any of that, you know, keep germicidal detergent on the bus and some paper towels so you can wipe things down in between. It'll make you feel more comfortable. Mm.
Yeah, it's obviously not a perfect world, and we just got to make the best out of what we've got. I've seen a lot of stuff in the news recently about parents pitching in, which is awesome, and helping with serving meals and just people in the community. And obviously you're serving out of a bus, and you know, you've got a qualified bus driver that's driving, but they're not a food service person and they don't have any formal food service training. You know, one thing that I'll add to this is a resource that we've added on our Food Handler Solutions website, which is free food safety training, a full 8-chapter course to help these folks, you know, that are not familiar with food safety, to really, you know, get that education that is needed. It's a relatively short class, about an hour in length in total, to go through the entire program. But it's a really wonderful tool, especially even if you just break off some chapters. You can kind of skip around and take chapters independently of each other, but it's a really great tool to take or to pass along to folks that maybe just aren't familiar with food safety, and you just want to give them a little bit of something to get them started so that, you know, you're doing the best that you can. Again, in an imperfect world, an imperfect situation, we just got to make the best out of what we've got.
And one of the beautiful things that you did with that course when we made it available is to break it up so that people could do exactly what you're talking about. You know, there are other free resources out there. There's a couple of courses that are they're being offered free, but you have to progress through the entire course in order, and you have to dedicate yourself to that hour and a half to 2 hours worth of time to do that at the one sitting. With all, what you did with ours, what I thought was brilliant, is you broke them out so that people can bounce around and jump around so that they can, if you have a bus driver who you want to make sure is familiar with proper personal hygiene, you haven't watched that 15 to 20 minute module, that's all they need to watch.
Exactly.
If you've got somebody helping you receive deliveries, you can have them real quickly watch the receiving and delivery module, and maybe the hand washing module too, but they don't have to watch all 8 of the modules. So I thought that was great, because we have had, I think you would agree, we've had thousands of people that have taken advantage of that resource and doing it in bits and pieces rather than doing the whole thing, which I've heard from many, many people that you mentioned circuit bus drivers and warehouse men and custodians and principals and superintendents. It's just amazing the number of people that are taking the course, and you know, and it's been a great resource.
It has, yeah.
Well used.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Our horn, but it has been a very well used resource.
Yeah, and we'll share all these links at the end. That resource is available on our foodhandlersolutions.com website / coronavirus.
It's also available on the school food handler resource page.
That's right. It is also available on the school food handler resource page.
We added to there, and it again, you know, everything we're talking about today, folks, is free. So you know, this is all just this course is a free course for anybody that wants to take. Mm-hmm.
We also have made some meal inserts available. Let's talk about the meal inserts real quick and how best to use those resources. Because there's meal inserts and there's also meal labels.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe share what the best way to do those. Because I also saw something which was a take-home guide that was new for me. I actually ran across that this morning that you had created. And that was a new resource that we just added on there, which is proper reheating for parents. Which can be added in there.
Right. Well, the inserts were, we started the inserts out for just basic information so people knew how to handle their food. But as the complexity of service became more and more evident, and these complex meals were being served, and a complex meal basically means something that's cooked, then needs to be cooled, and then reheated, and then served. That's basically the definition. And people are also adding in frozen food. There are districts that are providing a week's worth of food, and they're basically giving, you know, frozen hamburger patties, frozen chicken patties, bag of buns, those kind of things. So there were no instructions for parents. I mean, you would think that a lot of that stuff's common sense, but the honest truth is, from a liability perspective, when a school district starts adding that kind of food and providing that kind of food, it kind of opens things up. Were they not to provide parents with good, solid instructions so that they could say that they did? So we developed the insert that has that handling of hot food in terms of getting it, eating it immediately. If not going to eat it immediately, then put it in under temperature at the right temperature, cooling it at the right time, and then reheating instructions. We did the same thing with cold food. And then we added frozen food in so that people would know that, you know, frozen food needs to be taken immediately and put in the freezer. It can't sit in the car. Just like you can't let it do from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You can't let it do from the school either. And a lot of schools are serving milk. So, not a lot of schools, all the schools are serving milk because it's part of the USDA's mandatory meal pattern. And that milk also needs to be cooled. It can't just sit out. There is some shelf-stable milk that's being used, but by and large, it's not shelf-stable. It's the kind of milk that you have in school all the time. It's in a cooler. The kids get it as they're getting their lunch. So we did that, and we also did developed an insert for basic home food safety. So not only does it apply to the meals, but you've also got a flyer you can insert in there that gives them some tips for their own safety at their house when they're preparing their own meals. And I thought that was a pretty good thing because we've had a lot of people take advantage of both of those tools. Yeah. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from people who have used it. The interesting thing about the inserts is that they're editable. You know, so you can go in if your district is doing something a little different, they're all Word documents and you can edit them to fit your circumstances should you want to do that. And then we also put together some label templates. So you can actually print labels off, peel them off, and stick them on a bag or the meal or whatever. And they're in Spanish and in English.
That's awesome. So to kind of wrap up the resources page, there's also at the very bottom some DIY items about how to create your own mask, how best to wear them. So lots of different resources on the COVID-19 resource page. Again, can be found at School Food Handler right in the navigation area just by clicking on COVID-19 resources at the top of the page. I got a question for you.
Well, if I could interject something real quick about masks. There's a lot of people that, you know, that are concerned about wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. The key thing about a mask is this: you can make your own, and that's exactly what's on there as instructions to do that. But care is very important. You know, so we added a resource on there about taking care of your mask. How do you care for it? How do you wash it? How do you do those kinds of things? If you're making a mask from home out of a t-shirt or a bandana or whatever, you know, you're going to need to wash it pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. And it's a good idea to have a couple with you, so if one gets soiled, you've got another one to put on. So, you know, not to step on you, take your thunder, but I just want to add that because I know that that's been a big question we got is what do we do with these masks we're making at home? How do we take care of them?
That actually is a perfect lead into my question because my question is going to be, you know, in this kind of new world of social distancing and mask wearing, and you know, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of awareness brought to people's attention about personal hygiene, which should have been in people's minds all along, just general personal hygiene tips. But in this kind of new world with different items that we're using, what can food service operations, specifically in school nutrition, really ensuring parents, once we kind of go back and start resuming things, because I know there's been a lot of talk in the media about, you know, when do we open back up? When do we open the economy back up? When things do start to kind of open back up and we do start to go back to food service environments, whether it be a restaurant or a school cafeteria, what can these establishments do to, and I guess, make customers feel safe again?
Well, two things. You know, food safety in a child nutrition environment, school environment, has never been an issue. Food has always been safe. They go to painstaking measures to be sure the food is safe. Personal hygiene in a child nutrition environment has always been top notch. They've always done that, and they do a really good job, make sure people wash their hands and follow guidelines. As far as the schools go, I think that once the schools reopen, that will happen, and it will happen in the fall, is that if people in the child nutrition environment will just take those extra measures, make sure that they wear gloves all the time. Just make sure they're wearing gloves all. If the kids are and they're in an environment where, because you know, gloves are not necessarily required for every single task in the kitchen outside of serving the food. But you know, I would say that in every opportunity, wear gloves. The second thing is you may find yourself wearing masks in school, so that you would be sure that the kids would and the parents of the children would feel safe that you're not a source of infection. And then as you're handing things to people, you know, be careful about touching people, you know, and I think that's going to be, you know, social distancing is going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people, but I think that's going to be the new normal for the next at least year. And I believe that that's something you can do. Now, as far as the restaurants go, same things. I think you're going to find servers that are going to be wearing masks, that are going to be wearing gloves. You're going to have people in the kitchen, that are going to be doing the same thing, wearing things that they're not accustomed to wearing. But that's going to go a long way towards making customers feel safe. Now, whether the customers come back quickly or not is going to really depend on two things, I think. It's going to depend on how the restaurant markets their and the school markets their safety precautions that they're taking. And then also how quickly customers feel comfortable. You know, you can't do anything about that. And I think the more you social distance in a restaurant, I think you're going to find people that are going to a 300 table restaurant or 300 person capacity restaurant, maybe go to a 7,500, 125 person because of spread, the distancing. You're probably going to see schools that are going to probably go into more of a longer lunch period, so that they can bring kids instead of bringing the whole cafeteria in at one time, maybe bring them in thirds, mm-hmm. so they can spread them out and around the cafeteria so they're not all sitting right together. I think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be different, but food safety is not really going to be the issue. It's mm-hmm. going to be the contact safety. Mm-hmm. How safe do we feel coming back into contact with each other?
Right.
For some of us, it'll be a snap, but it'll be simple. For others, it won't be much. It won't be so.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
You know, I've heard a lot of different discussion pieces. You know, I mean, obviously, I mean, with living in California, you know, we've been talking about, you know, just requiring everyone to wear a mask, even, you know, for an extended period of time when you go out into public. I mean, I know now, even when you go to a grocery store in certain counties, you're required to wear a mask. In areas where it's not required, do you think that it would be maybe a best practice, or is this something that school districts should consider doing long-term, even if they're in an area, just to make people feel safe for a period of time? Or do you think it's just going to depend on what your customers are wanting? I guess the question I'm asking is, do you feel like there's any negative repercussions to just taking extra precautions?
No, there's not. You know, but I mean, caution, you know, can be overboard, but in this case, I think caution is not a bad practice, especially if you find yourself into that grouping of people that have been more susceptible, or if you have a grandmother or a grandfather that's older, or a parent that's older, you know, maybe they have some other underlying issue. I think it's a great idea to be cautious, particularly in those cases. I will say this: I have mixed emotions about masks, and this is Bart's opinion. And I hate answering hypotheticals, but I'm going to do this. I've watched people with masks on in the grocery store. I've watched people with gloves on in the grocery store, you know, because that's really kind of the only place you really see a bunch of other people at one time.
Right.
And I've noticed people taking things off the shelf, handling buggies and all, and then reaching up and adjusting their mask, or they got the mask down over their mouth so they can breathe through their nose. You know, statistically, it's been shown that people that wear masks tend to touch their face as much as 75% more than they do when they don't have a mask on.
Yeah, the adjusting,
So what begs the question is this, is that can we be disciplined when wearing a mask? Because that's the key. Because if you are touching things and then you're touching your face and you're moving your mask around, it kind of defeats the purpose of the mask. Because the mask is to protect what? It's to protect me from you.
Right.
And if you're wearing a mask and you're getting somebody else or airborne or whatever, and you're moving your mask around, I'm beating a dead horse. That can be an issue. So I think that when restaurants, food service operations, those kind of things, when they're wearing masks, that it's very important that they practice the proper use of the mask. Because if they're adjusting it, then it's going to just, you talk about confidence of customers, that will cause a problem with some.
Just kind of in some closing notes here, one question that I've had just kind of wrap things up, you know, obviously you're a nationally recognized speaker. You talk on a lot of professional development topics, you know, specifically some about communication and dealing with change and staying positive type motivational things. What can people do in these times to stay positive? I mean, it's a very much changing world. There's a lot of things that have put people outside of their comfort zone. How can people really stay positive and just keep a really good outlook and just look forward to the future as opposed to getting bogged down in the moment?
30 seconds. Here we go. Number one, stop watching the news. Stop watching the news. Fast yourself from the news. Go from an everyday news watching to maybe every 2 or 3 or even 4 days. Things aren't going to change that much, and you'll notice an immediate improvement in your attitude. Second thing is if you want to watch television, watch something funny or watch something exciting or, you know, action packed, you know, don't replace that. A better thing is to read, you know, pick up that favorite book you've got or that thing you like to listen to and replace that time with that. Second thing is talk to yourself, right? You know, don't constantly tell yourself this is the end. This is where we're going to be in. This is not going to get better, because none of that's true. It's not the end. It is going to get better. Timing may be an issue, but it will get better. There's no reason to think it won't. And the third thing is be kind to others. Just be kind to people. You know, there's so much stress in this world right now that when I go into a store, you know, and I smile and I say good morning, I say how you doing, I speak to people more now than I really ever have, because I feel in my heart that people need that now more than ever. They need to know that they're not on an island by themselves. They've been trapped in their house, some of them, for weeks, and they feel alone. Well, I think if you can share a kind word and a smile with somebody, it reminds them that they're not alone. I see a lot of response when I do that. I mean, some people look at me like I'm crazy, but they smile almost all the time. So that's the key thing: is protect your mind, guard what goes in your mind, talk to yourself right, and be kind to others. You know, you get what you give, you reap what you sow, and if you want to get positivity and good back from people, you must give it. And the only way you can give it is if you build that reservoir up inside of you. I think I took more than 30 seconds.
Hey, that's good. Hey, that's a very great tips, and it's something that we can all apply, you know, great advice. Well, hey, thanks for your time. I this has been fun, and we're gonna do this every single week. So this has been our Friday, our Food Fight Friday, and all the resources are gonna be in the notes for this of where you can get to all of these free resources on our School Food Handler website, as well as our Food Handler Solutions website. If you're a school food handler customer, just simply log in to your district web training website, and then in the left-hand navigation on the resources tab, you'll see the COVID-19 resources page. If you're not a school food handler customer, don't worry, just head over to schoolfoodhandler.com, and right there in the navigation area, you'll also be able to reach all of these resources. So thank you all for tuning in. Again, I'm Wes Christian, this has been Bart Christian, and we'll see you next week.